Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida. And I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years now in this part of the world. And that's with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then we have our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air. And they're also online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving the New Jersey and Philadelphia area. And we're just so delighted to partner with my friends there and all three of these stations, so that we can just come and sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you have your Bibles today, we're actually going to be going to a number of places. Mark chapter 12 will be a starting point, as there's a portrait of God, and as you know, I just see portraits of God throughout the Scripture, but the portrait of God that I want to focus on today, that He's really put on my heart during this month of February, which we celebrate Valentine's Day, is that He is our abiding love. Have you ever stopped to think about that as a portrait of God? He is our abiding love. It is a powerful thought, a powerful truth. I'm going to give you 10 takeaways about how that is manifested in our lives. And of course, it'll take us two or three broadcasts to go through that. And we'll be going all over the Scriptures. And so I hope you'll be joining us. And by the way, just a reminder that these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. If you go there, just click on the broadcast box. You can also click on the video box and get 3-minute videos on portraits of God. You can also click on the box about articles and things that I've written, and also some training guides or quick reference guides. You can also, that's another box and stuff. So there's just a lot of free helps there to help you hear God. Oh, that's my heartbeat. I want to do everything I can to help you hear God, my friends. So today we'll be starting our journey into looking at how He is our abiding love. Oh, excuse me. All right. Well, as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I you know how much I love just coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. And Lord, I learn so much as I'm preparing these things. And even as I share them, Your Spirit just touches me with stuff that I really need to focus on in my life. And so, Lord, as we take this journey together, discovering how You are our abiding love, boy, may it not just be a mental exercise, Lord, but may it be something that just gets embedded in our hearts, that we can really receive the reality that You love us more than we can possibly imagine, and You never leave us or forsake us, because You are our abiding love. So thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to hear Your heart. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, well, if you've made your way over to Mark chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 30, a classic portion of Scripture, a great starting place for seeing this portrait of God as being our abiding love. And if you're a note taker, here's the first of the 10 takeaways that will be unfolding for you in the next few weeks. Number one, the Lord, our abiding love, shows us that, number one, loving Him is our top priority. Loving Him is our top priority. Mark 12, verse 30 puts it this way. This is the greatest commandment, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You know, when He was questioned about what's the greatest commandment, He didn't go over the 10. He gave them this one, this top priority, this overarching umbrella, this reality, this truth that says that loving God is our top priority and everything else flows from there, my friend. He is our abiding love, and we get to manifest and experience that more deeply when we start learning what it is to love Him as our top priority. You know, throughout the scriptures, we have other references to these top things, but they're all related. For example, over in Proverbs, there's this one, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Why does it say that? Because we live and die in spirit and therefore in life by what happens at the heart, my friend. And when we love the Lord with all of our heart, that's the first thing He lists. As we read this passage, when He answered the question, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Guard your heart from loving other things or other people more than you love God. Don't even love the Bible more than you love God. That would be bibliolatry. He wants us to fall in love with Him and do so with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And by the way, it's just interesting that the next verse here in Mark chapter 12 says, and the second is like it, you shall love others as yourself type of thing. And it's about loving the brethren. But see, that flows from the first kind of love, the love that we cultivate for God as a top priority. When we do that, His love ends up abiding more and more within us, and it flows through us to others, and therefore we can love others as fervently as we love the Lord. In fact, that's why in 1 Peter 4, it says, above all, there's another above all verse. We had that one that said, above all else, guard your heart. Similarly, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. How do you keep fervent in your love for other people when they sin against you, when they hurt you, when they betray you, when they wound you? How do you do that? There's no way to do it living on just the horizontal plane of this earth. We have to be living in the vertical plane. That's why He says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That gets us into that vertical relationship that gets us living as citizens of heaven, not citizens of this earth. We begin to see people how they really are, frail creatures, stumbling creatures, wounded creatures, and wounded people wound others. But my friend, that's no reason to stop loving them. Even when they hurt you, you just say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, what they intended for evil, you intended for good. I will love them as you still love them, because you are our abiding love. You are teaching us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love others like that as well. Can't do it without the supernatural abiding power and love of God, my friends. Can't do it. That's why He tells us in no uncertain terms that the absolute greatest commandment and top priority is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So there's number one of our 10 takeaways. The Lord, our abiding love, shows us that loving Him is our top priority. Now here's the second one, and the passage itself can be a little confusing and has been interpreted in a way that misses the point. So I want to dive deeply into this one. Let me give you the passage. It's over in John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, 23 says this. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Now, I'm going to read that again because it sounds like it's saying, well, if anyone loves me, then what he's going to do? He's going to prove it by following me. And if he does follow me, well, then my Father will love him, and then we will come in him and make our dwelling in him. Listen to it. If anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling in him. So at first reading, and for years, to be honest with you, as a young man, I saw it as a challenge. I kind of took it as a kind of a command. Okay, if anyone loves me, you know, don't give me this sentimental garbage. You know, no, you're going to follow my word. And if you don't follow my word, yeah, you don't love me. And then we're not going to invest in you. So you got to prove your love for me by following me, by being obedient, by doing the stuff, by performing well. Got to earn my love, earn my abiding. Well, I have great news. That is not at all what this is saying. If it were so, that would be a works and performance-based theology that says you have to act right to earn his love. You have to keep acting right in order to keep his love. You mess up, you are out of here. Well, that's not what this is saying. Let me give you different ears to listen with, because the scripture is telling us over and over again that the love of the Lord is what his economy is based on. It's not fear. Now, I know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but that's not like a fear that he's going to do something to you if you don't act right, you know. That's fear-based obedience. The Lord doesn't want fear-based obedience. He wants love-based obedience. And what he's saying is, when you really do love me, you're going to want to follow my word. And when you want to do something, you do it. If anyone loves me, he will follow my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. This is a whole different feel. He's just saying, this is how it works. This is how it works in the supernatural arena, which is very heart-based and love-based. Look, I'm just saying, look, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word. He is. He's going to do it. It's a byproduct, excuse me, of loving me. You don't do it in order to get my love or to prove your love. No, it's just a natural byproduct of really discovering how much I love you and how you can learn to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength by trusting me. And when you do, you're going to follow my word and you're going to experience more of my love because you'll recognize it more. You're not having to earn it. And we're going to come in. We're going to make our dwelling. We're going to abide in you. Abiding means to dwell with, to hang around with, to stick with. I love that. John 15 talks about abiding in him to bear much fruit. He abides with you. We abide in him. It's like marinating a steak in a nice marinade. Hang on, let me get this right. You marinate with a T in the marinade, which is whatever the concoction you come up with. You put a steak in there and it abides in there. And then all of that marinade seeps into the meat over hour upon hour upon hour upon hour, so that when it's thrown into the fire, it doesn't all burn off. It keeps that steak juicy and tasty. Well, my friend, the love of the Lord is like that. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. His deep love, and here's your takeaway number two, I've been leading up to this, deep love leads to loving obedience. That's what he's saying here. The Lord, our abiding love, is showing us that deep love leads to loving obedience. That's what he's saying. Hey, if anyone loves me, if anyone has a deep love for me, he will follow my word. It's just going to happen. It's going to flow. My Father will love him. That's going to flow. We will come to him and make our dwelling in him. You'll experience in that more. But when you have a performance-based acceptance, if you believe that your acceptance and love is based on your performance, that's a fear-based kind of obedience and performance. You better do this. And we grow up with this. Parents trying to do a good job saying, you better do this. If you act that way, nobody's going to love you. You know, it's that, well, the love of the Lord is abiding with us. He has a deep love for us Even when we're struggling, even when we're in rebellion, he loves us because we know not what we're doing. And when you start receiving the reality of his deep love for you, it spawns a deep love back for him, the kind that we just heard about in number one, in the greatest commandment about loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You don't drum that up. It's a response to realizing the deep love he has for you. And the response to deeply love him back naturally flows into following his word and experiencing an abiding love relationship with him like you cannot imagine. Oh, my friend, when we get that the Lord is our abiding love and it never wavers no matter how we're struggling, he has that deeper love for us. Well, deep love leads to loving obedience. Let me just give you a brief illustration about that. Think about this for a moment. For those of you that are married or thinking about being married and all, now let me ask you a question. If there was a proposal for marriage from a guy to a gal that said, look, I love you and I want to marry you and here are the conditions, however, that as long as you measure up to these conditions, once we get married, we'll stay married and it will have a great time, but these are the conditions, these are the rules. Keep those, we're great. Now, I got to tell you, if you burn the toast, if you get all blubbery on me and stuff, that violates these conditions, we're done. Now, who would marry somebody like that? Is that a love-based covenant you're entering into or fear-based, performance-based? It's ludicrous, isn't it? However, when we get married and we say, I'll love you forever and ever, and when we in our wedding vows are saying in sickness and in health and richer for poorer, we will stick together, we will love, we will carry on. See, that's what this deep love is all about. It's love-based loyalty, love-based fidelity, love-based cooperation, where we try to outserve each other. It flows from deep love. So, the Lord, who is our abiding love, shows us that, number one, loving him is our top priority. Number two, deep love leads to loving obedience. And number three, deep love flows from deep forgiveness. You might be going, what? Yeah, this is a powerful truth. Deep love flows from deep forgiveness. Let me take you to Luke chapter 7, verse 47. And this is a very striking, striking verse because it's got a deeply embedded truth in there that I didn't understand for most of my life as a believer. It's just been the last, 15 years or so, it's really begun to grip me that if I want to cultivate a deep love for the Lord, one of the ways that deep love comes is recognizing how deep the forgiveness I've needed actually is. Listen to this. Luke 7, 47. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but the one who's forgiven little, loves little. Isn't that powerful? Let me read that again just to make sure you get it. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. I didn't quite get that over the years, but as I think about it, here's the deal. If you think you're doing a pretty good job with the Christian life, you're not into the big sins, murder, and all the other things we could list there. So, and now you may struggle with pride and envy and some of these other, quote, little sins and all. So you don't need much forgiveness. You just need little forgiveness. And if you believe that and you're living that out and comparing yourself with others who have had a much rougher go of life, much more elaborate, sensationalized sins, but you're basically a good Joe, a nice gal, don't need much forgiveness, because you haven't done much sinning, you're not going to have a very deep love for the Lord. You're going to think it's just kind of a game, kind of a performance thing. Okay, yeah, you know, if I do this, he'll love me. If I do, you know, it's kind of a trade-off, kind of a deal-making with the big man upstairs and all. You're not getting it. And one of the things you're not getting is how much we actually all sin and how deep we sin. Pride is no small sin. Envy is no small sin. All the others we could talk about. It produces all kinds of problems. Why else would the scriptures say God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble? The more we see how much we struggle with sin and have struggled with sin, the more we see, as we look back in our lives, how God has been covering for us when we've been royal jerks, and yet he still uses us, he still loves us. He may be disappointed with us for sure, but he doesn't hate us. He still loves us. And when we start seeing that the Lord has covered my backside year after year after year for some things that I've said and done that were just wrong that I didn't see at the time, at first I get overwhelmed with a sense of guilt, embarrassment, frustration, anger at myself for not seeing it, being so stupid. And the Lord says, no, 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 we don't go there. It's just that you're all works in progress, son, even you. And I cover for you by my grace over and over again. I have forgiven you over and over again. But we don't see it. We don't see the works of the flesh in our life. You know why? Because some of the flesh is, well, it's grade A flesh. I mean, you go to the butcher and buy a grade A, you know, sirloin steak or something like that. It's still the flesh as opposed to a cheap cut of steak. But it's still flesh. Some of us are good performers. Act right, do right, perform right, smile right, say the right things. Well, it's still grade A flesh if it's not done as unto him and with humility, grace, unselfishness. And my friends, can I just tell you that the more I look back on my life and see that God did way more in spite of me than because of me, it humbles you. I see that he has forgiven me much. And the more I see I've been deeply forgiven by so many things, my heart gets less proud and gets more grateful. And when I get more grateful, I fall more in love with the Lord who's been putting up with me for so, so long. There's way more grace at work in our lives then we realize, my friend. One writer puts it this way: sometimes we have to take a walk through our own hall of shame as we look back on some things and maybe look deep today to see some things that we're doing or thinking or attitudes that we have that aren't even grade A flesh. It's sin. It's sins of the heart. And yet God is ready to forgive. Just own it. Lord, I confess. I got to say, I am struggling here. I cannot fix this. No, you can't. How can you love me, Lord? Because you're mine. Well, okay, I'll try to fix it. You don't have to fix it. You can't fix it. Just walk with me. Trust me. I will fix it. Really? Really? Oh, man. How do you put up with me, Lord? Oh, my friend, deep love flows from deep forgiveness. So when the Holy Spirit makes you aware of some things in your heart and life and attitude, in your history or currently, don't be overwhelmed. Don't receive it as condemnation from the enemy pointing a finger at you saying, you're a crummy Christian, look what you're doing. Don't let your regrets overwhelm you. Let the Lord walk you through it. Just own it. Give it back to him. And he says, I got this. I got it covered by the blood. I love you. I've been loving you. I'll still love you. I've been covering for you. I'll still cover for you because you're mine. That's the deep kind of love the Lord has for you and for me, my friend. And from that deep love flows deep forgiveness to us. And when we see that and we receive that love and forgiveness, it spawns a deep love back to the Lord. And when that cycle of deep love starts going round and round and round more and more often, it saturates your soul like that steak sitting in a marinade. And it goes deep, and you're able to love others with that same deep kind of love, and it frees you up. But if you're proud, you think you're doing pretty well, not such a bad Joe, not such a bad gal. Well, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And it's the humble that experiences the deeper and deeper love of the Lord. It's always there, but we don't receive it because of our pride. It's our pride that stops our sense of the deep love of the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for being such a great God and our abiding love. Lord, teach us to indeed love you as our top priority and to see that deep love leads to loving obedience and that deep love flows from deep forgiveness. We receive that today. Thank you so much. May we be just like you and have that kind of love, not only for you, but for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your abiding love.